Keep is a production of ARM, that is Old Roads Ministries. It is entitled, Winning Back Souls. The purpose of this tape is to provide those who are interested in doing so techniques, methods, and approaches to bring people back to the Church, that is, Roman Catholic Church. Now, I must be clear in my terms, so allow me to define a few of them. No one ever leaves the Church, that is, Roman Catholicism. For Roman Catholicism is a lifelong, inescapable contract between man and God. Once in, no one ever leaves. If one can stop practicing Catholicism and remain in that state with a clear conscience until death, then that person never was actually a Catholic, regardless of what he claimed to be or what he appeared to be. But this is a matter for a separate discussion. And, by the way, no one ever leaves the Church with a clear conscience. But more on that later. What I'm dealing with here, at least in this part of the tape, is the so-called pious fraud. Namely, a person who does not practice Catholicism, or has formally, verbally rejected it, but has not, in his heart, rejected it. This is a person who has formally gone on to another so-called religion, or now has no religion, or now goes to one church and later to another, the church hopper. His religion has become a matter of either indifference to or rejection of Catholicism. These are the cases I deal with in this tape. A few preliminary remarks are in order here. 1. Roman Catholicism is true and every other religious system is false. There is no comparison in value. There is no morality, no truth, no faith, which is correct, except to the degree which it agrees with Roman Catholicism. If the listener has a problem with this statement, then he is not qualified to proceed. He is not qualified to use these techniques, and he is not himself truly a Catholic. Stop and come back when you, the listener, are properly educated or more in touch with God. A number of tapes are available from ARM on this subject. I suggest that the claims and proofs of Catholicism would be the best for you to begin with at this point. In the meantime, I suggest that you pray sincerely and open yourself to God's truth. Preliminary remark number 2. Roman Catholicism is that religious system and set of beliefs which is in conformity with the teaching and approval of the Roman Pope. This is an essential qualification. No one, no matter what his name, reputation, claim, or title, is a Roman Catholic if he rejects the authority of the Pope. A real Roman Catholic accepts in advance and for life, the teaching of the Church as valid. Although real members know that this claim is not as restrictive as it sounds, the claim must never be compromised when presented. It is not so restrictive because Roman Catholicism hasn't changed its basic views, positions, teachings, or doctrines since approximately 35 AD, and no new pope can ever or will ever introduce so-called new stuff, which would reject or contradict the old. This means that we are all old believers, that is, true Christians, who will never be asked to change or modify any basic tenets of faith or morality. The Roman Catholic Church simply preserves, maintains, and transmits truth from God to man. It could not create or change truth, which is a province only of God. Of course, this means that papal infallibility is essential to your understanding of Roman Catholicism. If you cannot explain or defend this doctrine, then also stop listening. You are not qualified to defend your faith. You do not know it yourself. Learn and return. Again, tapes from this organization are available. I suggest, among others, that the papal infallibility, a philosophical argument from necessity view, also the tape dealing with papal infallibility itself, claims and its justifications. Preliminary remark number 3. It is not absolutely essential that you know everything about Roman Catholicism, although that would be a very good thing. It is absolutely essential that you know and be able to explain and defend some uniquely Roman Catholic doctrines. The goal is showing that Roman Catholicism is correct in its areas. The goal is to establish that we are in the true area, even if it is only one area. So in other words, much better that you know one area very well than to know a whole bunch of them in a cursory and surface fashion only. I shall digress here for a moment. This is a technique I developed further in Defending the Faith, which is a tape from ARM, which you may obtain also. The goal is, in this tape, as follows. The Roman Catholic faith is established as being correct, that is truthful, in one specific, uniquely Roman Catholic doctrinal area. The opponent's doctrinal area is shown to be false. Then, as for either possibly being the true faith, the necessary conclusion is that Roman Catholicism may be the true faith, but the opponent cannot be. Again, this technique is dealt with at length and in detail in that tape, Defending the Faith, which I suggest you obtain if you are interested in this specific approach. I return now to the topic. We are never to allow relative truth concepts. If a statement can correctly be put into an either-or choice, then one of the alternatives is true and the other is false. It is essential for you to understand this. Preliminary remark number 4. You must be clear that subjective feelings have no place in an objective argument. To put this another way, what you feel has nothing to do with what is. Comfort has nothing to do with truth. Liking or disliking has nothing to do with truth. Desire, attraction, repulsion, and difficulty have nothing to do with truth. In the same sense, I am not concerned with your feelings. Some of the things I say on this tape and my approach itself might very well offend some of the listeners. I am not concerned with that. That is because I care about the truth and God's will and not your feeling. One of those things, God's will, is an objective reality which is unchanging and which will affect my salvation, while the other does nothing for or against me, nor does it change the truth or values. I put out this tape, and I speak on it for the simple purpose that the most important thing in my life is to achieve my salvation. The most important thing in your life is to achieve your salvation. You are not to misunderstand and to believe that the most important thing is bringing someone else to the church. The most important thing dealing with this specific matter is that you attempt to bring someone else to the church, because that will increase your own chances of salvation. To put it in a very frank fashion, if you achieve salvation and the other person that you're concerned with goes to hell, you will not be any less happy in heaven. And vice versa, if that person achieves heaven and you are damned, you will not feel any more joy because he achieved salvation. I return to the discussion proper. In your discussion, it is very important that you attempt to eliminate the word I from any expression. Use impersonal pronouns whenever you can, it, this, that, etc., and also use the proper noun. You are not comparing feelings or belief systems. You are dealing with truth and falsity. If you do not accept this, then stop the tape and go to God for aid. Pray. You are not prepared to use the techniques in this tape. Do not ask others to return to a faith which you do not believe to be true. You are not a serious Catholic if you have not accepted that this is a matter of truth versus falsity. You are not qualified to defend God's truth with your words unless you acknowledge that it is God's truth. You are never to say, as an example, I understand your difficulties, or I can see your problem, or well, I have difficulties with some aspects of Catholicism also. If any of these apply to you, your faith is weak. You need to bring yourself back to the church first. Remember, Catholicism is God's expression of the way man should behave and what man should know on earth. I anticipate that at this point some of you are objecting to my tone and my requirements. After all, you may say, come on, I can't do all of this. And really now, I just want my son to go to church again. And do you really want me to defend the teaching of every pope? Hey, I have a life to live. I have other things to do. I can't spend all my time studying this stuff. I wanted a few easy tips. I don't want a big course. Well, then ask yourself this. Are you really serious about this matter? If so, then take the effort and the time. And it is not as difficult or as long as you believe. And this ministry will help you if you ask for it. You may, in fact, call me. The number is available for specific advice or for specific custom tape. And I repeat again, the stakes are very high. You are dealing with the eternal fate of souls. And I sincerely doubt that God will take it as an excuse that you claimed you didn't have the time or the patience to listen to this tape, or the time and energy to study. Next preliminary point, number 5. This point has been alluded to before. No one ever leaves the Roman Catholic Church because of a problem which he cannot resolve in good faith. I repeat that again. No one ever leaves the Roman Catholic Church for that reason. In other words, everyone leaves the Roman Catholic Church for one of two reasons, or perhaps both. Number one, he did not know the faith and leaves it, or abandons it, or rejects it, because it has not been properly presented to him. Number two, he abandons the faith knowing that he rejects God. In other words, he rebels, usually because of some type of moral difficulty. If he didn't have it before, by becoming an open rebellion against God, he certainly develops it then. The first situation is very easy to deal with. The second is the major problem. It is a perversion of the times in which we live in. When one says moral problem, most people judge it to be automatically dealing with sexuality. People go to hell because they reject God, because they refuse to submit to and accept His will. How they do it varies with personality. The purest sin, if we can use such a term, is not adultery or abortion or theft or murder, but rather pride, mainly the original sin, the sin of Adam. This is the sin which states in its actions, I go my own way, and God will simply have to accept or reject, but I am not concerned with conforming my behavior with His reality. It is the sin which makes each man his own judge of right and wrong. It is the sin which makes each man his own God, when the true God has said that we shall have no other gods before Him. This is the sin which every person who knowingly rejects Roman Catholicism commits. This sin is ultimately a form of atheism, because what it does is deny the actual nature of God as the supreme being, the lawmaker, the ultimate judge. This is a key point, so I shall deal with it further. As we are correct, as we know and attempt to obey God's will, what else can rejection of this will be if not rebellion? There is no other alternative. You must realize this. You must realize that your darling son or your loving daughter or your cousin or your spouse, whoever you're concerned with and trying to approach on these matters, those people are rejecting God, and they are endangering their souls by their rebellion. Well, assuming you're still with me at this point, let us try to deal with the techniques which was I involved in. What you are dealing with in this matter is an apologetic approach. In essence, you are attempting to persuade a person to formally adopt your set of values and behaviors. Your approach is as follows. Step 1. Determine where you agree. That is, what areas and doctrines do you both accept as true? You then ignore these except as starting points. It is very important that you spend very little time on these agreed-upon issues. If you do not, you will give the impression to the other person that you are, quote, not so far apart, unquote. Remember, truth matters. You know this already, otherwise you would not be a Roman Catholic. And therefore, as truth matters, so does untruth matters. Number 2, the second step. Establish where the other person, who I will refer to sometimes as the heretic, is in error. These areas, of course, will be where the person does not believe and accept Roman Catholic doctrines. Here, you must deal with the distinctly heretical doctrine. At this point, I add a footnote. I presume here that your heretic has fallen into those cults recognized as Protestantism. That is because this is the most common event and occurrence for fallen away Catholics. Frequently, they become silent fundamentalists, or they go into the more mainline denominations of Protestantism. It doesn't matter. All are equally wrong in the same ways. The most common misconception is to fail to see the current which runs through both mainline and the charismatic evangelical fundamentalist Protestant sects. They are all wrong, pretty much in precisely the same ways. The majority of Catholics who leave the Roman Catholic Church, that is, so-called Catholics, join Protestant denominations. If they now tell you they're an atheist, you are dealing with a liar. Truly, the Bible says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So primarily, this tape shall deal with those who have, quote, lost people to Protestantism. I return to the major discussion. If we are dealing with the Protestant-type heretic, then such issues as the Marian doctrine, sola scriptura, purgatory, etc., are the areas of contention. This is where you will have your discussion. This is where you will center your discussion. These are the subject matters that you will deal with. This is because you are not concerned with those areas of agreement. Remember, you are not concerned with who calls themselves a Christian. You are concerned with real Christianity, that is Roman Catholicism. Step 3. Establish where you are correct. Here, you will establish either from basic axioms, or logic, or some agreed area, or something. It doesn't matter at this point, but you will be able to establish where you are correct. It is important here that you deal only with very distinctly, universally recognized Roman Catholic dogmas. Again, concern yourself primarily with faith at this point, because if you can establish the authority or the faith of the Roman Catholic Church, the morality will follow. Do not concern yourself with those areas where the Protestants have set up a shadow doctrine very similar to Catholicism. Again, deal with the specific Catholic doctrine. At this point, I recommend to you the following tapes, which should be of use to you.
Number one, defending the faith, which details the techniques I've just gone over.
Number two, apologetics, which deals with the techniques which can be used to recognize normal evasions and confusions, which most Protestants use to avoid confronting the truth. Number three, the elements of logic. Number four, the elements of rhetoric, which will enable you to understand truth, to understand the rules of logic, to understand the axioms of logic, and how to present it correctly. That is, how to keep from getting confused while presenting what is in your mind. And number five, knowledge, which teaches you the basic of epistemology. And number six, the tape dealing with Immanuel Kant. Does this sound like too much to you? If it does, then I ask you a simple question. Why did you obtain this tape? Do you want an easy 30-second magic approach? If you do, I don't have it. If you learn of one, let me know. You should deal with something, dear listener. You are combating very strong forces. The heretic who rejects Roman Catholicism and God becomes a worshiper of himself and or Satan. You are beginning a struggle which may be very long and very difficult. Remember, Adam and Eve lost this struggle, and they knew God in a special way. So therefore, you should not necessarily consider it easy. The devil is extremely active out there. However, you can win because God is on your side, and truth is on your side. And remember this, your first duty is to save your own soul, and you increase your chances by defending God's word. I suggest at this point you read Ezekiel chapter 2, if you have an objection or a disagreement with what I've just said. When you stand before God and render an account for your life, do you believe that He will accept that you found it too difficult to handle, or that you lacked the time, and that is why you let someone fall away from the church? Now, I say let someone fall away from the church. You do not let someone. Everybody makes their own choice. But again, it is your obligation to confront him with the truth. Remember, with God, all things are possible. And remember also this, you are not alone in this. Allow me at this point to point out another aspect which might be of some interest. I certainly suggest and encourage you to pray for your heretic. But I also suggest, even more strongly, that you pray for yourself. The most important thing in your life is your relationship with God, your acceptance of truth, and your staying in the state of grace. Therefore, you can best handle, defend, and espouse true Christianity when you have strengthened yourself through prayer. Also remember that if this other party is clearly rejecting God, knowing what he's doing, your prayer is not going to be so efficacious for him. Instead, encourage him to pray for himself while you pray for yourself, primarily, so that you will be strengthened in this task.
Now, to return to the argument again, or the presentation of the presentation. How do you bring up the subject to your heretic? There is no subtle way. You must be bold, open, and honest. Now, this presumes that you usually do not discuss religion with your heretic. If you do, and if the subject is already cordial, then you do not need my advice on this part. However, I believe that most of us are in the other category. Namely, we are very inhibited or shy in approaching the subject matter. You know your situation. I don't. I can only speculate. What follows, therefore, is suggestive only. And the point is that you may very well decide it does not apply in your case, in which case, simply reject it and follow your own guidelines on how to bring the subject up. Remember, of course, the golden rule. You do not mind being asked about religion, so why should your heretic mind talking about it? If you need questions, that is, tough questions to determine, essentially, where the other person's religion is, we have a tape for that also. Approach number one, opening approach. Ask, what do you really hold as true? Do not ask this question until you are ready to record the answers, in writing, or, possibly, on a tape recorder. It is not as good to accept a book on belief. Books are very boring, usually. The point is, that is frequently what a person will offer you. They'll give you the Bible, or they'll give you a commentary on the Bible. This is not a good approach. But if a person insists, accept the book and read it. It will be of two types, assuming it's not the Bible. Vague and confusing, in which case you will learn nothing, you will be unable to understand it. Simply return it with that comment. Or, specific and contradictory. In this case, you should study it and point out the contradictions. Now you are already into the presentation. Do not worry that there will be another type. There are no other types of books written on religion that do not deal with Catholicism. Ask for explanations of the contradictions. As a matter of fact, demand explanations for the contradiction. Do not be gentle here, and do not accept subjective feelings. Never accept ignorance from the person as an excuse. Your heretic either knows his belief, or he does not. You certainly know yours. Again, that doesn't mean you know all about Catholicism, but what you can talk about, you do know. Do not accept that he is confused himself. He has rejected Roman Catholicism and accepted an alternative system. If he does not, by now, understand what he has accepted, then he is a dishonest person. Accuse him of being such. This is no time for gentleness. This is a time for confrontation. You are dealing with someone who has rejected God. You cannot risk tenderness and kindness being mistaken as some degree of acquiescence or approval. This is a matter, very simply, of truth versus lies, and make sure you present it that way. A key warning here, do not allow this time to become an attack on Roman Catholicism. In other words, do not let the person at this point point out that all religions are wrong, or all religions are confused, or no religion is right, or no religious book is correct. Point out that at another time you will allow him to attempt that is attack Roman Catholicism, but not now. Right now, he is to explain his beliefs. He is to explain why he rejected Catholicism. And of course, at another time, give him the opportunity to do so. That is, attack Catholicism. When you are dealing with this matter, listen very carefully, but concentrate on the following types of statements. Now, before I go further, notice what I just said. Listen very carefully. The vast majority of us don't. The vast majority of us don't actually listen to what people say. We're anticipating what they're going to say, or we're emphasizing in our own minds the wrong words, or we're trying to remember what they just said. Listen again to what they actually say. Concentrate on the following types of statements and immediately object to them. I feel that, I believe that, or I think that. These are subjective feelings. They are very nice for women's bridge games, and they are very nice for encounter groups, but they have no place in discussions of truth. Accept only statements that are in this form. It is, or this is. And then ask, how do you know this is The response to that question will be one of three types. A, Bible says. B, Mr. X, that is some human, says. Or, God told me. There is no other possibility of an answer. Let us examine each. Number one, the Bible says. This statement can always be reduced to someone says that the Bible says. This is always reduced to a personal theory, a personal opinion, and that is the teaching of a personal opinion as dogma, is condemned by Jesus in both the Gospels of St. Matthew and the Gospels of St. Mark. You need at this point, if you're weak in these areas and don't understand the point I just made, to obtain the tapes on Sola Scriptura, Protestant View of Scripture, and the Protestant View of Truth. Because in those tapes, this position is totally destroyed. Second position, Mr. X, say Mr. Minister, or Martin Luther, or John Calvin, or somebody like that, says so-and-so. This comes down to a personal opinion, just as above. Remember, you never believe or accept personal opinion as dogma. You are a Roman Catholic. We can't, won't, and haven't accepted personal opinion as dogma. We accept only the revealed truths of God, for which we have many, many proofs and verifications. Never compromise on that issue, ever. Number three, the God told me view. This frequently comes down to a concept of private revelation or a reliance on being born again or something like that. This means, of necessity, that the person espousing the view is right and everyone who disagrees with him must be wrong. If he refuses to acknowledge this, and almost all of them do, you must accuse him of being an intellectual coward and a fraud, as he is. Do not refrain from such words. Remember, gentleness is not going to work in situations like this. If you have difficulty understanding this position, attain the tapes on Born Again in the Holy Spirit, the Protestant View of Truth, and the Protestant View of Infallibility. Remember, although to you your questions may be in the form of what do you believe and why, it is actually in the form of what is true and how do you know what that is. Be very careful that when you're dealing with questions like that, that is what you are actually driving at. Remember, unless the person is quite willing to admit that he believes without any verification of truth, in which case it is purely human opinion, what he believes must have some relationship to truth. It must, or it is, purely a man-made system. That is the easiest thing to destroy, because we offer a God-made system. And of course, the passages in Scripture are clear, and the founding of the Church by Jesus is clear. At this time, turn over to side two, where we shall continue this tape. ARM tape, Winning Back Souls. We have just dealt with the first concept, or the first approach that one can use on dealing with your heretic. That is where you simply ask him, what do you believe and why? Now, there's a second approach, which you might find easier because it is less personal. This is where you ask your heretic to bring his minister or his elder or his teacher or something to your home to defend his faith, that is the minister's faith, the one that has been accepted by your heretic. Be very careful that you explain that this will be a defense of one's faith and not simply a fellowship session or a free explanation. Make it clear that you will object to the minister's improper statements and that the minister will have to defend them. Most ministers, so far everyone I have ever met in over 3 years of research, will refuse to do this. After all, they are terrified of real questions because they know that they are frauds. Regardless of how the individual heretic can approach non-Catholicism, the minister, the man who goes to the Bible college, the one who makes his life a Bible study, knows that he is wrong and knows that his system is indefensible. So therefore, he will generally not defend his faith. He will not be capable of doing it. When the minister refuses, accuse the minister of this, that is, being a knowing fraud. Arrange for some priest or educated Roman Catholic to do exactly what the minister refuses to do.
Real Roman Catholics will easily accept the challenge for two reasons. One is, we must bear witness. And two, we have the truth. And of course, as an extra added incentive, God will help us. He does not help those who reject him. From this point on, never let the heretic forget that his holy man, his minister, his founder of truth, etc., is a coward and a fraud, while Catholics are not. This should be a general wearing down concept. Ultimately, he will realize that his own minister is a fraud, and this is primary step in bringing one back to Catholicism. I have found this to be most effective, my own personal experiences. Myself, I've always offered a $100 prize to be awarded to the winner of the debate, and I've always said that the heretic could determine who was really telling the truth. They never take me up on it. Now, what are you to do if the minister accepts? It could happen. First, make it clear to him when he enters your home that he is to defend his faith and you are going to attack him on his faith. If he physically appears, it is probably because your heretic lied to him to get him to come. Heretics do not consider lying a serious matter, otherwise they would remain Roman Catholics. Usually, therefore, the minister is not aware of the circumstances of his visit, and usually he will refuse to defend his faith, stating that he was not informed or something to the effect of that he is not the capable one, but there is another one who exists somewhere. If the minister does refuse, simply refuse to talk, call him a coward, point out that Roman Catholics are not afraid, because no Christian can be afraid of defending his own faith, but that the minister is, and therefore the minister is not a Christian. Do not discuss his reasons, do not accept his excuses, simply accuse him of the situation and accept no defense whatsoever, unless he is willing to come back at another time to defend his faith, and then ask him to do so at that time. Under no circumstances, however, if this is the scenario that occurs, should you discuss any religion whatsoever. If he attempts to do so in a certain fashion, trying to control a conversation, or steering it his own way, simply keep repeating, "You are afraid of defending your faith. Those are the circumstances under which you were invited here. I will not discuss religious matters." Now, what if he tries to defend his faith? This is extremely unlikely, but do as before. Record and object to subjective evaluations. In other words, the same technique we outlined before, which you would use with the heretic, you will now use with the heretic's minister. Go to the basics again. It will always reduce to those same three responses as mentioned before, and you should be ready to destroy each one of his nonsensical suggestions, approaches, or attempts at justification. I suggest that you stay in one area at a time. Example, the nature of Scripture, the conditions of salvation, the nature and membership of the Church, and so forth. Do not let him shift to different subjects whenever you pin him down in one. This is an absolute universal. They all do it. Again, do not let him attack Catholicism at this time. Point out that at another time, you will be quite happy to have him attack Catholicism and have someone defend it. Keep it on one subject. If you can, advise your heretic in advance that you would like the minister to discuss only one subject. Be aware of this. Most Protestants, that is the vast, vast majority, are extremely ignorant of Scripture. They also reject logic and frequently study no history whatsoever. In these areas, they are intentionally and woefully ignorant. You already probably know much more of these areas than they do, regardless of how ignorant you believe you are. Most Bible colleges, where ministers are so-called educated, are extremely poor institutions academically. They have no real status in the academic field, and as far as learning, they are extremely questionable. Remember, if they were taught anything significant about religion, logic, history, etc., they would, if they were honest, convert to Roman Catholicism at the end of it. Obviously, the cults which set these institutions of learning up must keep the truth from them, must suppress the person's mind who attends it. The reason they do this is because otherwise they would lose their people to Roman Catholicism, or at least the honest ones. So therefore, do not be impressed with their phony credentials. They generally, and I have found again no exceptions to this, are people who are extremely ill-educated, regardless of how much time they have spent in school. Now, you are driving towards a goal here in both cases, in both of these techniques, namely, an admission of error or a self-contradiction on the part of the heretic or the heretic's minister. At this point, you should drive home the following. Truth and error cannot exist together. As his system is in error, it cannot be truthful. If it is not truthful, then truth is not central to it. And as Jesus identified himself as truth, Jesus cannot be central to that system. I must advise you that this is much easier to achieve than you might believe. What you are really doing is simply holding up a mirror to a person and allowing him to see himself as he really is. Frequently, in discussions like this, it is at this point where someone will say, oh yes, well then show me where Catholicism is true. And this is where you are able to establish point by point the truth of Catholicism, again dealing with one issue at a time and staying in one doctrine at a time. Now, allow me briefly to deal with those who are not Protestants, but are Hindus, Moonies, Mormons, Muslims, Jehovah's Witnesses, etc. Here, you need to take the approach that Roman Catholicism is true. I suggest that you ignore attempting to establish Scripture as an historical document, or that the resurrection was an historical fact. Because to accept these, one must primarily beg the question. That is, you must assume to be true what you wish to prove. In this case, you must target your approach towards what the person believes. In other words, if he is a scientist who accepts verifiable facts, then deal with miracles, especially the ones whose documentation cannot be denied, as in the more recent miracles or the ones that have endured over a long period of time. New Age believers are a different matter. They believe nothing. More properly, they do not believe what they say they believe. In this sense, certainly they are like Protestants. Attack their statements on a logical basis, internal inconsistency, and failure to live up their own beliefs. I'll give you an example of this. New Agers say that if you really believe something to be true, it becomes true to you. This is most easily destroyed with the example of money. Ask them to cash a check for you and then stop payment. When they ask you for the money, tell them that they should believe that they really have the money, and they will, as they believe very, very hard. Again, you are simply holding up a mirror to show what they are. What happens if your heretic admits that he is wrong, but he will not come back to Roman Catholicism? In this case, I would suggest only prayer. And as I stated before, or at least alluded to, prayer can be very useful in this. You can only go so far. Remember, you are dealing with a moral defect here. The heretic, again, if he's the second kind, the moral rejecter, as opposed to the simple ignorant one, okay, is knowingly rejecting truth and knowingly rejecting God. You can and should point the way, but you cannot compel the journey back to God. Remember this. The grace and faith of God are gifts, and as gifts, they can be rejected by man. You are only instrumental in bringing a person back to church. You cannot bring a person back to church. It requires three parties: your activity, their act of freely accepting God, and the grace of God. That is, in this context, certainly God may choose to call whoever he wishes. The best you can be is an instrument of God's will. And remember, you are not totally responsible for this person. Every person is ultimately responsible for his own relationship to God. So, again, why should we even bring this up? Why should we do more than pray? Because we are commanded by God to do so. The words of Jesus are extremely clear. We must teach everything he has commanded us to teach. We must teach others everything he has commanded us, period. We must teach the gospel. We must spread the word. We must be his instruments as best we can on earth. Now, again, what happens when you get to the point where the other person will admit his religion is wrong and will simply not comment on the truth of Catholicism, or will simply make statements like, I'm simply not convinced, without pointing out where he is not convinced or without specifying his disagreement? Well, from that point on, I'm afraid you're on your own, because I believe that such a matter would be so tied up to the interactions of the different personalities that a general statement on my part could not be made. Perhaps you should nag, threaten, or perhaps you should ignore. Perhaps you should suggest, perhaps you should compel. I do not know. I would certainly suggest good example on your part, and an ever-repeated invitation for one to literally go back to the church with you. And by that I mean, literally, a return to the Mass. This may or may not be difficult for you to do. I simply don't know. But I do know this, that it is probably less difficult than you believe. And remember this, although you're trying to set an example by the way you live, none of us, unfortunately, ever lives a sinless life. However, Roman Catholicism does not allow compromise on its dogma. It is important, therefore, that you point out that even though you may be sinful or you may fail in some area, what you say is totally independent of what you do, in the sense that if you say the truth, it is still the truth, even if you don't live up to it or if you fall on occasion. This, I think, raises the whole area of morality. And let me point out something here. You must have established, and I hope you have, again, as I mentioned in the preliminary remarks, the difference between subjective feelings and objective reality. The expansion of this in this area is as follows. If you fail to live up to Roman Catholic teachings on morality, that does not mean that the morality is wrong, nor does it mean that you reject the morality. All it means is that you fall and that you fail. What this means, quite frankly, is that you are a human being. Someone once put it this way. If you're looking for a perfect church, join it and it will no longer be perfect because you will be a member of it. Point out that Roman Catholicism has a consistent theology dealing with sin and forgiveness, while no other organization does. Point out the sacrament of penance was instituted so that man may become reconciled, re-reconciled with God after committing sin. Point this out at this point. This is when you're getting into the area of defending Catholicism. But point out again that what you are dealing with here is essentially abstract systems. You are dealing with a system which advocates a certain position on faith and morals, a certain position on authority, a certain position on Scripture, as opposed to a different system which advocates different positions on those basic issues. Point out that the fact that you individually don't live up to it, or that you individually have failed, does not invalidate the system. You are dealing with objective evaluations, not subjective applications. An example which you may wish to bring up at this time is the fact that a doctor may very well operate correctly on a patient, and yet the patient may not survive the operation. By the same token, a person may drive very carefully in an automobile and yet still have an accident because something else occurs. You may plan an event to be exactly the way you want it to be. You may take every prudent precaution possible and still have the event come to a disaster. That does not mean that planning in advance or driving carefully or any of the other things are not important. What it means is that certain principles are true, whether in individual cases they yield the expected desired result or not. This is important to get across. Let me make a few comments at this point on defending and explaining Roman Catholicism. You must be certain what is and what is not Roman Catholic dogma. There are thousands today who call themselves Roman Catholic and yet reject the authority of the Pope. They are not Roman Catholics. Most Protestants intentionally pass on calumnies and canards about Roman Catholicism. because they are neither honorable nor interested in truth. If that sounds like a radical statement to you, think about this for a moment. Jesus said that the reason he came onto earth was to bear witness to the truth, and that everyone committed to the truth hears his voice. If this is true, then all those who are committed to his truth would go into one church, except one set of morality, one set of beliefs. Why do they not? Well, either Jesus lied, which of course we must reject, or those people who reject the truth of Catholicism are not in fact committed to the truth. To return to this, you must therefore be certain when you are talking about Roman Catholicism that you are in fact presenting Roman Catholic dogmas, even if you are limited in your knowledge. Therefore, it is important for you not to accept statements of non-Roman Catholics stating what Roman Catholics have taught and believed. Don't even accept it if it's written in a book. Many of the books are simply printed lies. When you are dealing with a Roman Catholic doctrine, make sure you know it correctly. Again, you can obtain information from us or a large number of other sources of legitimate, valid Roman Catholic positions. When you do this, I would suggest that you concentrate in one or two areas, learn as much as you can, learn scriptural references, justifications, backgrounds, etc., and deal with that. Don't be surprised that you cannot comprehend all Roman Catholic dogmas or have them all immediately at instant recall. Don't even attempt that, at least not at first. So as an example, the specific Roman Catholic dogma of purgatory. Learn about it, deal with it, justify it, defend it, establish it, and stay on that subject matter. Again, remember, one of the techniques which I suggested, and as I mentioned was available on the other tape, is deal with one Roman Catholic issue, one non-Roman Catholic issue, establish the truth of that one Roman Catholic issue, establish the falsity of the non-Roman Catholic issue, and don't let the subject be shifted. But when you are dealing with Roman Catholic doctors, keep in mind the following general principles. Number one, Roman Catholic dogma is never self-contradictory. If it appears to be self-contradictory, you must either find out that it is not, resolve that in your mind, or you have been misled yourself, you're not dealing with Roman Catholic dogma. Number two, Roman Catholic dogma does not ever conflict with Scripture. If it appears to do so, it is because either you have not studied Scripture long enough or you have an incorrect phrasing of the Roman Catholic dogma. Number three, Roman Catholic dogma makes sense. That is, it is conformed with natural law, with logic, and with truth. That does not mean to say that Roman Catholic dogma is not also beyond logic. Revelation, that is public revelation, given to us by God, is that which we needed to learn, necessary for our salvation, which we could not arrive at by our own brains alone. However, since God also gave us our brains, it cannot contradict what we learn by right reason. At this point, I would suggest a tape on Basic Roman Catholic Theology, number one, available from this organization. Up till now, I've dealt primarily with the concept of the heretic who, quote-unquote, knowingly rejects Roman Catholic theology, faith, dogma. What about the one who's ignorant? What about the one who's been taught incorrectly? What about the one who's been intentionally led astray by someone, or unknowingly led astray by someone, who has presented some bit of nonsense as Roman Catholic teachings? In this case, the key thing is to find out exactly what he does reject, or exactly why he became other than a Roman Catholic. Ask him what his objections were. The approach is slightly different. Instead of saying, what is it that you really believe, what you ask is, what is that you really don't believe that Catholics believe? Again, the same approach would be proper. Carefully record what he says. Then you'll have to do the research to find out if this is what Catholics really believe. Of course, if it is, then you should come back to him and ask him if he truly believes it and take the approach that he's a conscious heretic. If it turns out he is rejecting something which is non-Catholic, then your approach is quite different. Your approach is to present the real Roman Catholic position, to justify it, to explain it, and to offer it to him as truth and find out whether he accepts or rejects that. That is quite different. This case, I would suggest that perhaps the either giving of a tape similar to one from this organization or exactly one from this organization or a book. There are a good number of catechisms out there. There are a good number of books titled all pretty much what Catholics believe or what Catholics don't believe or what the Church teaches, etc. Let him examine that and then see if he comes back with the concept of rejection. The point I'm making in this is you take a slightly different approach from the person who is knowingly rejecting and the one who is rejecting out of ignorance. You do establish in both cases where the disagreement is, but in some cases the one who rejects out of ignorance is rejecting simply because he is ignorant, and all you have to do is clear up the ignorance. In that case, taking the hard approach would not be appropriate. You're not in that case holding up a mirror, to use the analogy before. Instead, you're simply turning on the light in the room so we can see what's going on. So in that case, direct his attention somewhere else. In the case of the knowing heretic, the one who clearly rejects Roman Catholic teaching, direct the attention in on himself. That is the basic difference. And again, there are no other types that reject Roman Catholicism. They do it out of ignorance, or they do it intentionally. And of course, those who do it intentionally, as I've stated over and over and over again, are in open rebellion against God, know what they're doing, and your approach is essentially confrontational. I add a comment here which I found to be most useful in dealing with Protestants when you're dealing with them from the point of view of Scripture. And it is one of the things you should get on a pre-agreement. If this applies in your case, please note it. And of course, if it doesn't, then you can disregard it. Protestants tend to, at one and the same time, equate the Old Testament and the New Testament as having equal authority and totally reject the Old Testament as having any authority. Now, of course, this is self-contradictory. But, of course, Protestantism is self-contradictory. I would suggest in a pre-agreement, you come to the conclusion that either the rules, laws, and suggestions, the regulations, etc., of the Old Testament are binding on today's Christian or are not binding on today's Christian. If they are binding, then it is easy enough to find an example where whatever organization you're dealing with, whatever cult, will simply not follow some of them. If they are not binding, then do not accept them as authority. Allow me an illustration in this case. There are many who attack Roman Catholicism's use of images based on passages in the Old Testament which seem to imply a prohibition of images. Now, of course, the fact that the Hebrews themselves carried the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark of the Covenant had images of angels on it, and that Moses in the desert carried also the brazen serpent as a means of curing people who had been bitten by serpents, certainly makes null and void this absolute prohibition of images. It simply, and as we all know, obviously is the prohibition of the worship of images, or the attribution to an inanimate object of something that only animate objects can have, that is power, personality, etc. Now, if they trot out the Old Testament on this to use as the example for attacking Catholicism, then simply ask them if all the other Old Testament rules and regulations are still in effect. If they are, well then ask them if they also believe in killing disrespectful sons, because that is also mandated by the same law which prohibits the images. If they say, no, it isn't, then what you're dealing with is a situation where they are selectively choosing. And in that case, it comes down to only prejudice. As essentially my final remark in this tape, I would like to point out that you should be aware that people hold positions for only one of three reasons. And they all start with the letter P. The first is prejudice. In other words, they simply like or don't like. But usually this comes from what they've been taught and never what they have actually learned themselves. This is bigotry. This is the truest sense of hatred and has no relationship whatsoever to truth, of course. The second is the concept of pleasure. People like things or hold things because they give them pleasure. This is the
situation where one enjoys a certain bit of music, a certain dish that tastes a certain way, or enjoys certain colors. This is simply a matter of what gives one pleasure. And the third is the matter of principle. Principles are those statements of truth which are unchanging, unchangeable, and have a value that one acknowledges in the behavior of man's life. In other words, if one holds to a principle, one does not abandon it when it becomes unpleasurable to do so. If one holds to a principle and one finds one's prejudices conflicting with them, then one will adhere to the principle and abandon the prejudice as being invalid. The vast majority of attacks on Roman Catholicism by heretics involve prejudice. They advance certain things which are not true, which have been handed on to them, and which they will not acknowledge the truth on. This is essentially your point. Try to understand as a general principle whether the person is dealing with principles, whether they are dealing with prejudice, or whether they are dealing with simple pleasure. Frequently, people reject Roman Catholicism because they simply enjoy the services in another church better. Or they simply like the people in another church better. Or their husband or wife likes the other church better. In this case, you're dealing with pleasure. And to point out that one should determine one's salvation on this earth based on pleasure is to put the sin of Adam, where one sought the concept of pleasure, on a higher level than the law of God. This essentially ends the tape. I suggest that you listen to it more than once if you did not comprehend the techniques or the principles involved. I suggest also that if you have a specific problem, give us a call, write us a note. We'll try to do what we can for you. And, of course, I suggest you obtain the related tapes.
Related tapes are described in the catalog available from ARM. You may obtain the catalog, copies of this tape, or any one of the debate tapes in which ARM members discuss and produce and exemplify the techniques presented in this tape in conflict, so to speak, with members of non-Catholic religions. And all of those tapes and our catalog are available to you by contacting us at ARM55PALEN, that's P-A-L-E-N, Road, L-38, Hopewell Junction, New York, 125.